You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. A new book has just been released called Not That God, Trading the Believable Lie for the Unbelievable Truth, and it's authored by an Oklahoma Baptist, Ryan Smith, who serves on staff at Eagle Heights Baptist Church in Stillwater, who's a writer, a blogger, and Ryan joins us now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege.
Well, I've been enjoying reading this book, and it's really confronted me with the truth of God and the scriptures in so many ways. But why did you decide to write it? What gave you the idea? And talk about how it came about.
Yeah, well, when I say the word God, something comes into everyone's mind. What A.W. Tozer famously has said is what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us, because it affects everything that we do, the way that we shape our worldview, and the way that we approach circumstances and situations. So I believe having an accurate worldview of God is vitally important. Particularly, I want people to be equipped with a biblical view of God as revealed himself in the scripture. So that was kind of the big picture goal for this. And I was just reading one day in John 11. I said, you know what? Jesus really does some things I do not expect here in order to define more accurately who he is. And so I just wanted to tell that story.
I love how you keyed in on John 11. For those not familiar with it, what is the story in the preface? Kind of preview what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, the headline would be the raising of Lazarus, the death and raising from Lazarus. But what I spend a lot of time talking about is, yes, the death and the raising of Lazarus, but also the things preceding that and the fallout from that, in which Jesus chooses to wait 2 days before he goes. He chooses to wait till Lazarus has died, makes a community grieve, and then he walks into that. And why he would do that and what that shows us about his character today.
You know, your form of writing is very engaging. Some of our listeners might be familiar with you from the WordslingersOK.com blog. Yeah. You have a way of speaking directly to an issue in a fresh, engaging, and biblical way. And you're a good storyteller, too. One of the stories that jumped out to me was you reflecting back on your young adulthood or your childhood and telling the
dark ages,
telling the Nirvana story. Kind of recount that and then apply the truth of what you were going for there.
Yeah, I find if you can tell a somewhat disarming story, it allows you into someone's heart or mind to get across a more deeper truth. And so, yeah, in the book, I talk about, I was a young teenager in the days of Nirvana. And if anyone is from that stage of life, you know what that was like. It was just angst. It was grunge, and you just didn't care about anything. So I thought one of the cool ways to express myself would be to grow out my hair and, you know, be all part of this movement. Unfortunately, I was rather portly as a teenager, and I had just gotten glasses that, as in the book, no lie, were the exact same frames that my sister had, who was 2 years older than me. And so I had long hair. I was kind of big and had these girls' glasses, and was very introverted, very quiet. And one day had a substitute teacher in our class, and went to the back of the class, didn't talk to him. But after several days, he was with us, and he was talked to by another one of our classmates, and he asked, well, what about the little girl in the back? And the classmate replied, well, what little girl? And he said, well, the one back there in the Oasis t-shirt. And she said, Ryan, that's a guy. And there's that awkward pause of, you know, nothing good is going to happen here. And he just goes, no way. And after that, I went on a diet, cut my hair, got contacts. And I wish I could say that was the only time during that period in which I was mistaken for a girl. But unfortunately, that was one story of many to choose from. But the truth about that is, oftentimes we learn from circumstances and situations that we would not necessarily invite or want to walk into. So it was a difficult situation, but I learned from it and grew from it.
Amen. One thing I like about your book, so often we start with the starting point is me, my life, my experience, looking at life from my, but you want us to start from God. yeah. God is. What was the intention there? How were you trying to shift our focus with that old teaching?
Yeah, well, John does us a great favor in that he gives us in John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, his reason for writing, the very reason that the book exists. And he says it's so that you may know that Jesus is the Christ and that you may have life in his name. And so if we are to have that kind of life, if we are to know Jesus is the Christ, we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what the Christ is. And most of all, we need to know and have the perspective that God is, regardless of how we view him. And he has revealed that to us in his grace. He's given us the gospel. He's given us Christ. And so I think it's important to come at it through that angle. And really, we understand ourselves better when we understand and look through the filter of God rather than when we try to look at God through ourselves. And so I kind of wanted to start off with that idea.
Amen. We're talking to Ryan Smith about his newest book, Not That God. If someone were interested in obtaining it or getting a gift book, what would be the best place to get their hands on a copy?
Right now, you can go to Amazon.com.
Okay.
If you're a Prime member, it gets there in 2 days. It's a great deal. So it's available online at Amazon.com, also at WespoPress.com, and it will be in stores shortly. I'm actually having a book launch this Sunday in Stillwater at the new Blue Spruce location, 8th and Main. So if you're in the Stillwater area, come on out and you can get a copy there.
Great. Now, you have a lot of ministry responsibilities. You're a family man as well. You've gotten your MDiv as well. You've juggled a lot, but tell us what the experience was like writing a book. That's a big life endeavor. Very few people can say, I've written a book. What was that like, Ryan?
You know, it was a lot of fun, but it was also tedious in some ways. I've heard a famous author say, I don't like to write, I like having written. And I think that's interesting. It's As a songwriter, as I've done some, kind of you write in a bit of metaphor or you borrow from different things and you hope somebody understands what you're saying. Something I liked about being able to write the book was I could explain and lay out there what was really on my heart, what I really wanted to say to this person that was on my mind in a more accurate and direct fashion. And so hopefully that comes across in the book, that you can really kind of read what was on my heart.
Great. Your subtitle, Trading the Believable Lie for the Unbelievable Truth. What did you have in mind there?
Well, as I said earlier, when I say the word God, a lot of things come into people's minds. Unfortunately, a lot of that in today's culture has been informed by assumption or just kind of what we want God to be, as you said, coming through that lens of us first. And we think of God kind of as a cosmic Santa Claus. You know, he's out there somewhere. He exists to make us happy and we can really kind of do whatever we want. And he'll get us out of any situation we get into. There's kind of that presumption and that idea. And so what I want to do is, while that's a very believable idea, and I want to trade that as Jesus does here, and intentionally staying for waiting for 2 days for the truth of who God is. And while that may not be easy to take in, while it may be difficult for some people in difficult circumstances, and I don't want to diminish that, the truth is so much deeper and it's so much greater. And believing who God is revealed in the scripture is so much better than any assumption that we could make up on our own.
Amen. You know, a lot of these books written by Christians and in Christian bookstores, if you know the lingo, if you're born again, you can get a lot out of it. But if you're an unbeliever or someone searching, it's kind of difficult to approach. And one thing I perceived was that you wanted to make this have an on-ramp for someone coming from any faith background. Was that the intent? Did you have some intentionality about that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's incredibly important. I actually had someone write a review on Amazon, said, you know, this is helpful for the Christian and the non-Christian alike, which was really a goal of mine, because I think it's important to start from the understanding of who God is as revealed through the scripture. And no matter if you've been reading that scripture for 50 years or you've never really picked it up, getting through that lens, looking at it through fresh eyes, always helps us form a view of God. So whether you've been a Christian for a very long time or you're just wondering who God is, the hope is to get the truth across in a timely fashion.
Amen. For those of you unfamiliar with Ryan's writing, I want to encourage you right now to go to wordslingersok.com to check out his blogs, and then to log on to Amazon and see the preview of this book. Who are some, you know, I know a lot of reading goes into writing. Who are some of the people, in addition to the scripture, that you read, that you've immersed yourself in to come to these points of truth?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really enjoy reading Matt Chandler, Tim Keller, John Piper, people who are engaging in a way that the truth is certainly right there in your face. They're not necessarily sugarcoating it, but they're also presenting it in a way as, this isn't my truth, this isn't my advice, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let the Holy Spirit do with that what he will. And so I don't know that I have accomplished a Piper-level book or anything like that, but hopefully some of that transparency comes through.
Now, describe the book. You know, someone gets it and reads it. What would you most hope for them to, when they finish reading it, they're on the last page, what do you want them to walk away knowing about God?
Yeah, that's the big point. So someone asked me from Westbow, who's the publisher, asked, said, how you define success for this book? And I said, success for me is when someone I don't know calls or emails or contacts through the website and says, you know what, this helped me understand the gospel. And that actually happened a couple of days ago. I got an email about a 70-year-old woman who has multiple sclerosis, has had a very difficult life, and it was related to me that she is sitting down. She's been going to church for a very long time, but she's sitting down and exploring the scriptures in a new way because these are new ideas to her. So what I would hope is at the end of this book, someone would put it aside and pick up their Bible and say, okay, God, show me who you are through your scripture. So that'd be my hope.
That's awesome. The book is Not That God. It's by Ryan Smith. It's available in the Amazon store. You can Google it and find Ryan and his writings online. Anything else you'd like to add to this conversation about Christ or about John 11 or about your journey in writing this?
Not necessarily, other than I hope people enjoy it, and I hope people will read it. While it does talk about going through difficult circumstances, and it does talk about, you know, obviously with the death of Lazarus, a very trying time for a family community, it's not just for those who are going through difficulty right now. I would greatly like to have somebody read it who has not gone through a major tragedy, or you may have that in their future. I'd rather have them be equipped with that, so when they face that time, they're equipped, rather than down the road when they get into it saying, oh, I wish I had reacted this way or something like that. So no matter where you are in your faith journey, so to speak, hopefully you will find that this is a helpful book and directing you towards God and towards the gospel. You can find out more information on notthatgod.com. Also, my personal website, ryanasmith.net. And as you said, WordSlingers, it's been a joy to blog and get the word out and to read many other people's blogs on WordSlingers. So wordslingersok.com, head there as well.
Thanks, Ryan. Well, I'd encourage everyone listening to it to this to check out this book, his writings, and go ahead and get a copy or two. It'd be a great gift book. You know, one of the authors you quoted as well is my favorite writer, C.S. Lewis. And in the Chronicles of Narnia series, he writes really what I consider to be the oddest or most unusual of the books, The Horse and His Boy. And the Jesus character, Aslan the Lion, has this conversation with someone and asks, who are you? And Aslan replies, myself, myself, myself. And I think of the I am, that Jesus is the I am, that God is. And I love that you point us to that in this book. I love that you are so gospel-centric. And so we thank you for writing it and for coming on today.
Hey, an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Great to be with you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.